Hey, 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 welcome to the First Time Home Buyer Workshop Podcast with Julie Marion, episode number 2. Today we are discussing the Federal Reserve and how it impacts your home buying process. Do you have to listen to this? Well, no, you don't, but this would be a big mistake because home buyer's remorse is well over 50% annually. And as recently as November 2023, home buyer, emphasis on home buyer, meaning this could be a first time home buyer, second time home buyer, any type of home buyer remorse was 92%. It's atrocious. As I mentioned in episode 1, where we laid out how we will structure this podcast, so go back and listen to that, the goal is for us to be giving you nuggets and nuggets of information that empower you, so that no matter when you start your home buying journey, you will have some knowledge so that you know what you're doing. Now, I don't know everything, but so you do know a little bit about me, I was an urban planner for 20 years, where I started at the bottom as a zoning investigator. I worked in long-range planning, community planning, and a very political group too, with growth management policies. I went to court on behalf of the city. I wrote tons of reports. I did community presentations. I was a civil servant. I also, too, worked in the private sector obtaining permits for corporations that wanted to get exceptions to the rules. I administered low-income housing funds that were given to the state in which I live, and we leveraged those funds for first-time home ownership programs, aka down payment assistance. I'm appraiser trained by the American Institute of Appraisers, a credit counselor for Freddie Mac, and a real estate broker for 19 years. Just an all-around real estate junkie for about the last 40 years. I can't even believe I'm saying that. But to this end, I see so much home buyer's remorse that I developed an online home buying class that tackles this home buyer's remorse. Now, there are other home buying classes, yes, and they are free, but they only cover the finances. And there is just a whole lot more to know about buying a house, like negotiation strategies, what happens to the home inspection, procedural questions, questions about insurances and zoning and variances, just to touch on a few. We drop our 15-minute podcast every Friday and Monday because you, as a first-time home buyer, are probably going to be shopping for a house on the weekend. So I want you to be able to listen to this podcast, learn one nugget of information before you go out and look at a house. And on the backside, on Monday, I want you to be able to learn another nugget of information. Now, it would be so much better to start this process 6 months before you say the words, "I'm going to buy a house," while buying a house is still kind of a dream. But hands down, everyone's journey is different. So we're going to start where you are. So let's get to it today. Last week, your homework was to notice in the news how much the Federal Reserve was mentioned in the press and online. It's a lot, isn't it? Right now, with the political season kicking off, inflation is a commonplace discussion. I mean, it's even being discussed at dinner parties. I don't know. It might just be my age, but it seems like that to me. Well, that and sports. That's what we talk about. Inflation and sports. It's riveting at our dinner parties, as you can tell. If you do understand the Federal Reserve, then you will be in the driver's seat, not for necessarily buying the house, but this is for you also to understand when to sell your house. I know you think I'm crazy, right? But doesn't every stockbroker tell you, when you buy a stock, you need to set a sell price? Doesn't every job coach say, "Hey, great, you got the job. Now when are you going to leave?" This is a huge, huge, and I mean a colossal mistake I made. I really wish I could go back and figure out what the Federal Reserve was talking about when I was thinking about selling my first house. It would have been so helpful. So, who is the Federal Reserve and what do they do? Well, the Federal Reserve, or affectionately known as the Fed, is our central banking system of the United States. It was created by Congress in 1913 with the enactment of the Federal Reserve Act. The Federal Reserve has several key responsibilities and functions, 5 to be specific. They create monetary policy. They are in charge of bank supervision and regulation. They're in charge of financial stability, oversight of our payment systems, and consumer protection. It's a conservative entity, not a risk taker, but they can make mistakes. Just because it's conservative doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. Now, before we dive into their responsibilities and how it affects you, I want you to think back for just a little bit here. Now, this governing body was established in 1913. That's a long time ago. I was looking up when Ford's Model T cars were just getting started. Yeah, that was from 1908 to 1927. I don't even think there are any Ford Model T cars running around on the streets anymore. People communicated by letter, not text message. There were still horses and buggies on the street. Long distances were traveled by trains and stagecoaches. Telephones weren't even commonplace at all. The telephones weren't even commonplace until the 1940s and 50s. And I remember as a kid how expensive a long distance call was. We didn't call long distance very much. It wasn't like you could call Australia on the WhatsApp for free. So communication was very different. And this is a key to understanding the structure of the Federal Reserve and why it's so large and so comprehensive and why they rely on so many different committees and reports because they want to be measured. They have the entire United States banking system relying on them. All right, so now you thought about the country and back to 1913. Now, let's take it one step further. What was the economy, say, in San Antonio, Texas versus Baltimore, Maryland back in 1913? Very different, right? Well, it's different today, too. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho compared to Boston, Massachusetts, they're very different. And so that is why the economist in every town or jurisdiction monitors what's happening at your local lumberyard, what's happening in your local retail stores. And that information or economic markers that these economists gather together, they are then sent to the local jurisdiction, whether that's a city or a county, and they prepare reports. Then those cities and counties, they feed that information to the appropriate state. From there, it goes further up the chain. What is happening with the economy in a regional sense? And that is the first part of the Federal Reserve, in that there are regional banks, federal regional banks. There's a Federal Regional Reserve of Boston, a Federal Reserve of Chicago, a Federal Reserve of San Francisco. They are regional Federal Reserve entities that have a handle and a heartbeat on what is happening in your local economy. Then, from there, and by the way, the Federal Reserve is not funded by our tax dollars. In fact, the banks that belong to the Federal Reserve system actually pay for this infrastructure. So that's just a little side note there. Now, all of this information, think about all the economists that are involved on, and just that short little bit I was talking about, from the local level, then to the county level, then to the state level, and then to the regional level. Now, all these professionals are looking at this information so that they too are able to obtain federal and state funding for projects that need to be completed in an area. That's how it works. We pay our taxes to the Fed and the state, and then those funds are supposed to come back to us, the taxpayer. So we need all this information to be communicated from the ground up. They say politics is always at a local level. Well, so is the economy. The economy is always at a local level, and it goes from the ground up. Then at the federal level, as I mentioned, there isn't just one board. There are lots of committees that review this information, and there are a lot of other governmental entities, not just the Federal Reserve, that are involved in participating in what's happening around the country. Now, we'll get to that in just a minute, but let's just talk about specifically what the Federal Reserve does, the five areas. So the first area is monetary policy. They implement monetary policy that achieves stable prices, maximum employment, and moderate long-term interest rates. They do this through the Federal Open Market Committee meeting, which is made up of the Federal Reserve Board and the regional Federal Reserve Bank presidents that set the monetary policy by influencing the supply of money and the current economy. The second area is bank supervision and regulation. They supervise and regulate banks and other financial institutions to ensure the safety and soundness of our banking system to protect us, the consumers. Then there is the financial stability component. The Federal Reserve monitors and assesses the risks to the stability of the financial system as a whole. And they work to address potential threats to the financial stability, such as excessive risk-taking by financial institutions or disruptions in the financial markets or vulnerabilities. They also play a key role in the operation and oversight of our payment systems, including the Automated Clearinghouse and the FedWire Fund Service. And they develop new payment technologies, such as I think Venmo and Zelle haven't been around for more than 20 years. So they ensure the smooth functioning of these systems, which are essential for efficient flow of funds and transactions in the economy. The fifth area is consumer protection. The Federal Reserve implements and enforces various consumer protection laws, and when you're buying a house, these things definitely apply to you. The Truth in Lending Act requires that your Truth in Lending disclosure be disclosed to you so that you know exactly how much this mortgage is going to cost. And you also are covered by the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, the ECOA, which allows that consumers be treated fairly in their interactions with financial institutions. And the third part of this consumer protection area is that it also conducts research and provides resources to promote financial literacy and education. So overall, the Federal Reserve plays a critical role. I mean, I think you can really see that it really shapes the monetary and financial landscape of the United States, with its actions influencing the economic conditions and the financial markets and the well-being of households and businesses across the country. Now, it's not just the Federal Reserve. They also have to work with other government entities because there is a lot of oversight. For example, the Federal Reserve works closely with other regulatory agencies like the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, known as FDIC. You've probably seen that FDIC insured. Your bank account is insured for a certain amount of money in case that bank goes bankrupt. So the Federal Reserve works with a lot of other regulatory agencies. Some key regulations related to lending capability that are really key, and a lot of people don't really know too much about this. The banks are required to maintain adequate levels of capital or money to support their private lending activities, and there are certain ratios that they need to adhere to absorb any potential losses. The Federal Reserve is responsible for setting that minimum capital requirement based on international standards. These requirements specify the amount and the quality of the capital that the banks must hold relative to their risk-weighted assets. Banks must maintain sufficient liquidity, meaning they need to meet their short-term obligations, like when we get paid on Fridays and we want to withdraw our paycheck, or they need to be able to withstand periods of financial stress. Say there is something that happens in the market where they are under financial duress, to ensure that banks have adequate liquidity and there is a buffer so that there aren't any market disruptions or liquidity shocks. Banks are also required to have robust systems and controls in place to manage credit risk, which is that the risk of the borrower may default or not pay. The Federal Reserve expects banks to conduct a thorough credit assessment and establish appropriate underwriting standards and monitor the performance of their loan portfolio. portfolios. The Federal Reserve also requires banks to have procedures in place to prevent money laundering, terrorist financing, and other illicit activities. The Federal Reserve, along with other regulatory agencies, sets regulations and guidelines for banks to identify and verify the identity of their customers and monitor transactions for any suspicious activity and report any suspicious transactions to law enforcement authorities. So why are all of these regulations here? Well, in the past, the economy has influenced many policies, and the banking industry has also made some big, huge mistakes. For example, in the 1920s, there was a long speculation of optimism and overinvestment. People overextended themselves to the point where there was a stock market crash, and then people weren't able to pay their bills, and they lost their homes. And then during the Depression, there was a run on the banks when the stock market crashed, and people rushed to get their money out of their accounts. In the 1980s was another time where there was a movement to deregulate banking policy, and there was a savings and loan scandal where the savings and loans institutions were short on funds because they had overleveraged and they could not meet their financial obligations based on the current economic climate. They had taken too much risk. Then in 2008, there were loans that were given without income verification. And when the interest rates increased, people could not afford their mortgage payments, and many homeowners lost their homes due to foreclosure. So even though there are checks and balances, a lot of mistakes can be made. And from my perspective, it always seems like this happens when there's too much risk or there's too much greed that creeps in. So we need to have a structure that ensures that banks maintain sound lending practices, manage risks effectively, and operate in a manner that promotes financial stability and protects the interests of consumers and the broader economy. So that is what the Federal Reserve does. Now, the Federal Reserve, they meet regularly. They meet in January, March, late April or May, June, July, September, November, and December. So figure out when the next meeting is, and then listen for the meeting results. These meetings are typically held over 2 days, and then the decisions about their discussions and about what they're going to do with respect to policy are announced on the second day. Also, this board talks about the economy, and they rely on many factors. So if you hear about these reports, and I'm going to just list them out, make note of it, and you will see how it ties into what actions the Federal Reserve takes. For example, the labor market is closely watched by the Federal Reserve. The Bureau of Labor Statistics provides a comprehensive data report on employment, unemployment rates, and wage growth. There is also the Gross Domestic Product, or GDP, report, and that is released by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, and it measures the total value of goods and services produced in the economy, and it provides insight into the overall health and growth rate of the economy. The Consumer Price Index, or CPI, and this is a big one because the goal of the government is to keep inflation at 4% or below. The CPI is a widely used measure that tracks changes in prices paid by consumers for a basket of goods and services. It is published monthly by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the Federal Reserve closely monitors CPI along with other inflation measures such as personal consumption expenditures, and this assesses inflationary pressures in the economy, and policymakers use this information to make decisions about this monetary policy, which includes setting interest rates with the goal of maintaining price stability and keeping inflation in check. Then there are several other areas the Federal Reserve keeps their eye on. One is the Producer Price Index, which is also published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It measures changes in prices received by domestic producers for their goods and services. It provides insights into inflationary pressures at the producer level, which can then influence consumer prices. There's a retail sales report that is issued by the Census Bureau. There are housing market indicators the Federal Reserve pays attention to, including things related to the housing market, such as home sales, housing starts, building permits, and home prices. There are also business surveys that they look at to see business activity, including trends in production, new orders, and employment, and also inventories. And then there is the financial markets data information. They closely monitor this area, such as interest rates, bond yields, equity prices, and exchange rates. All these indicators provide insights into investor sentiment. By analyzing all this data, policymakers aim to assess current economic conditions, and they decide whether or not to increase or cut interest rates. You can hear, though, through this discussion, it's not just some fly-by-night whimsical thing. It's thousands and thousands of professional economists, regulators, and companies that monitor all of this that boils down to what the little guy will be offered. This is why I say it all boils down to what us, the little guy, will be offered so we can buy this house. This is why I say understanding how all of this works will now empower you to maneuver and to get yourself ready so you check all the boxes correctly and you get the lowest rate from the bank you are going to work with. So there you have it. That is this 15 minutes of home buying knowledge. Just another acorn to put in your home buyer jar. In the next podcast, we're going to be talking about interest rates and what they are and how it affects you in your home buying process. And most important, what you can do about it. Okay, homework. This week, since we've been talking about the Federal Reserve, go to the Federal Reserve government website and read a little. Look around, see what they're talking about. As a second homework assignment, it would be great if you could go to three banks. Go to a big international bank, a local bank, and a credit union, and find out what mortgage products they're offering and at what interest rate. This will help you tremendously for our next conversation. If you want me to email you the link to our next podcast, go to our firsttimehomebuyerworkshop.com and sign up for our weekly email where we will email you with the link to the podcast so you do not have to hunt around for it or miss it. Also on the website, you will see our free class entitled Home Buying Chaos Unwrapped. For those of you who are close to starting your home buying journey and want to kickstart the process, this class explains who does what and why. So as soon as you walk into an open house, fill out a form, or call a banker, you are in charge. We have a paid class as well. But first, honestly, I want you to get to know me and see if what I'm talking about is really helping you. There are so many gray areas in real estate, and I believe this is where home buyer remorse can start. You, my friend, have been promoted to CEO of your home buying journey, even if you didn't know it. It's pretty scary if you don't know exactly what you're doing. Stick around here, and you will be knowledgeable and super informed. Until next time, from the team at the First Time Home Buyer Workshop with Julie Marion. Bye for now.